This is Michael Easter. A quick note that if you're hearing this, you are not a member of 2%. Here's what that means. You'll be able to listen to the full episode of any of our podcasts that are published on Monday for free. Totally free. So enjoy. But you'll only get a preview of our episodes that are published on Wednesdays and Fridays. So if you want to become a member and get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes, please become a member at twopct.com. Thanks, and enjoy the episode. Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is Friday, March 22nd. Today's post is AMA March Edition. It's the fourth Friday of the month. That means it's time for AMA. So we are going to cover my recent appearance on Fox News to talk about the harms of smartphones, why teens are more susceptible to issues from smartphones, and how adults are at risk of the exact same problems, why the issue can't be as simple as use your phone less. That doesn't work. What we can do at a governmental and institutional level to solve the smartphone conundrum, and what parents who have kids and teens might consider doing to set their kids up for success. So I was drafting notes for today's AMA from a flight going from Toronto to Vegas. I was in Canada to give a talk. I had never been to Canada. I've been a lot of places, never Canada. Nice place, really nice place, really nice people. I enjoyed it. Okay, so you may have heard that Congress recently passed a bill that would ban TikTok unless it divests from its parent company within 180 days of becoming a law. So if the bill passes in the Senate, President Biden said he's going to sign it, so we'll see if that happens. Now, when that happened, the whole TikTok ban thing, that made a lot of news. And what ended up happening is that people who really love TikTok, a lot of younger people, teens, they threw an absolute fit over this. So I end up getting a call. I'm sitting at home. I get a call and it's from Fox News. And they said, hey, do you want to come talk about why someone would throw a fit if TikTok were taken away from them? Are people addicted to their smartphones and social media? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, sure. I'll come down. My policy there is that I will talk to anyone about health because health is universal. So that night I end up appearing on Fox News primetime to talk about why teens would be freaking out and how apps are hurting teen mental health. And they do seem to be. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but I will instead point you to a couple of pieces that I have written, and I will link to those in the post on 2%. But here's a quick few facts. The generations that came up with smartphones, they are more likely to report feeling persistently lonely and depressed. Their academic achievements are lower. They're dating less, and they're less likely to have jobs as teens. They're also shyer and more risk averse. Of course, that is an average. There are many kids who are totally fine, but I think that on balance, kids who grew up with smartphones are worse off in many ways than generations who didn't. So I post about my Fox appearance on Instagram. I just say, hey, you know, teens and cell phones is a little bit of an issue that we should be thinking about. You've seen some bad mental health trends, yada, yada. Now, I had a friend who commented on the post. His name is Scott. He owns a really killer recording studio called Level 9 Studios here in Vegas. And his comment was pretty simple. How can we fix this? I told him I will cover that question on 2%. So here we are. So first, before we dive in, how do we fix that problem? I think it helps to know why social media is so pernicious with teens in particular. And I see a few big reasons here. Number one is that teen brains are changing in such a way that they value social acceptance more than at any other time in their lives. And social media is literally a status game, and it's in their pocket. 24/7 quantifying their status and acceptance. So if someone posts about a party that a teen was not invited to, that is going to hurt far more than it would at any other time in life. Not getting enough likes, that hurts more than at any other time in life. So these brain changes, they also make teens more impulsive and risk tolerant. So this basically means that teens are more likely to make impulsive and rude comments online. So then the person who gets those rude comments, they're going to weigh them heavier than they would the equivalent adult. So it stings more. So collectively, I think those things, among others, help explain the rising rates of anxiety and depression among teens raised around smartphones. Number two, teens are more at risk of addiction. So those brain changes that I mentioned that are happening to teens, this is also a time when teens find their way in life and what comforts and rewards them. Those sort of brain changes are fueling that. We're kind of figuring out our way in the world, how we escape, how we find comfort, et cetera. Now, for some kids, they might find that reward, that comfort in achievement, getting good grades, being the smart kid, being the funny kid, whatever it might be. But if the thing that a teen finds rewardment in is a drug or a behavior that provides short-term escape at the expense of long-term growth, like smartphones can, especially social media, that can pose a problem moving forward. So for example, if a person has their first drink at 14, I'm going to use an example in the addiction realm. If a person has their first drink at age 14, they have a 50% shot at becoming an alcoholic. Now, if that first drink waits until 21, the risk of the person becoming an alcoholic is only about 10%. So in short, this is a critical learning period where people learn how to cope, and social media can be a way for people to learn to cope, to escape, just like drugs and alcohol can be. Now, let me say at the same time, I think this issue definitely also hits adults using smartphones to deal with feelings. It's kind of a quick escape in your pocket. I'm going to link to a post that covers how people often use smartphones to escape. There will be a link in the post because that's another piece we ran that I think was impactful and helped a lot of people. Number three, the third reason. This third reason is that social media has a sort of strange effect where even if a teen is not using it, it can still impact them. It's almost like secondhand smoke. So I want you to picture you're a teen and everyone you know is on social media. You're on social media and you realize that it is hurting you and all your friends. Now you're like, I got to leave this thing behind. This is hurting all of us. Here's the deal though. If you decide to get off social media, that's great. But if your friends are still on it, they're basically MIA in your life. So you're just sort of there on an island while your friends stare into their phones. And adults face this too. So think about when one friend or partner is head down on their phone when the other's trying to reduce use of social media. But I think it impacts teens more. Four, the issue is also, and I said this on Fox, not just about what smartphones and social media are inserting into people's lives. It is also what they are taking away. They take away time outside. They take away active time. They take away time with others. They take away time focusing on stuff that could give us a longer term benefit, like books, art, extracurriculars, et cetera, et cetera. And again, this is an issue with everyone, not just teens. So then to go back to Scott's question, it's like we have this obviously big problem with smartphones, especially among young people. So what do we actually do about it? Now, I see there being basically two big picture approaches that I think could be helpful. Now, let me note that some of my thinking on this has been heavily shaped by a guy whose name is John Haidt. He's a researcher at NYU, super smart. I'm going to link out to a wonderful piece that he recently wrote for The Atlantic. And my ideas have also been shaped by a lot of the research I do for my books, just various studies I've read, and also many teachers and parents who I've spoken with. So the two big picture approaches are, one, governmental and institutional interventions, and two, parental interventions. So let's cover the governmental and institutional approaches first, number one. So when it comes to governmental approaches, I'm not a policy analyst, and I do understand that any policy is going to have some drawbacks. Definitely understand that. But I think the question is, are those drawbacks likely going to be less bad than doing nothing? And I do think that doing nothing is probably going to be a bad idea. I think that the government really should step in and do something around kids and social media. Now, to what extent it is, that's totally up for debate, but I do think doing nothing is not leading us in a good direction. So one big thing that I think could be useful here in terms of interventions from government, from institutions, is to not allow social media use until a person is at least 16. I've seen that number thrown around by some thinkers. I might even push it up to 18 because your brain is a little more baked then. You know, we didn't let kids smoke until they were 18 or 19 for the longest time. Now it's up to 21. But 18 or 19, like you're pretty well set. So 18 might even be a better age. So how do you do this is the question. You could require some legitimate age verification. For example, social media companies, they're able to verify media notoriety to give blue checks. So I don't see why it wouldn't be possible to verify age. Yeah, it would be a little more complicated. Yeah, it would take a little more resources. But having to increase mental health services and train up kids who lost out on education is going to take a lot more resources. So it's like, we're going to pay for it one way or another. Do we want to pay for it in a way that hurts our kids or helps our kids? Now, you're probably thinking, well, couldn't some kids just outwit this system? Yes, of course. Kids are smart. A lot of them can outwit things. For example, I had a fake ID when I was under 21. If you want to continue listening to this episode, please become a member of 2% with Michael Easter. Go to twopct.com. Once you become a member, you'll get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes. Plus, you'll get the newsletter, which releases the most useful and practical health, performance, and mindset information online 3 times each week. Thanks.